O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you are an astute Bible student, you may have noticed something problematic about today's gospel reading. In John's gospel, Jesus clears the temple of the money changers at the very beginning of his ministry. In Mark's gospel, Jesus cleansed the temple at the beginning of Holy Week, near the end of his earthly life. What's going on here? We have two options. Either Jesus cleansed the temple once, and John and Mark just reported it differently, or Jesus cleared the temple twice. Some people would call that a contradiction. That is not a contradiction. A contradiction would be if one gospel said Jesus cleared the temple and another said he never cleared the temple. Contradiction is when two things are opposite, when they are mutually exclusive. The Bible reports Jesus cleansing the temple at two different times. That is a discrepancy, not a contradiction. A discrepancy is when two things are basically the same, only some of the details don't match. For instance, the four Gospels report different numbers of women finding Jesus' tomb empty on Easter morning. What's important is that the tomb was empty and that Jesus was risen. The number of people who first saw the empty tomb is a minor issue. Imagine you and your significant other recounting something that you saw or did. There likely would not be a one-to-one correspondence between the details of your two descriptions, although they would be mostly the same. Atheists regularly clutch at straws like these discrepancies to discredit our faith. They fail. What's important in today's gospel reading is that Jesus threw the money changers and the sellers out of the temple. Exactly when he did that is not as important as the fact that he did do it. It makes sense that Jesus would establish zeal for God's house very early in his ministry. It also makes sense that Jesus would have this confrontation with the buyers and sellers in the temple as his ministry was coming to its apex. That is the cross. We don't know why the Holy Spirit, the true author of all Scripture, would inspire John and Mark to tell their stories differently. The Holy Spirit must have a purpose for that that we can't understand yet. But even though we might not understand, we can trust that there is a reason, and that is for our good. God is always working through the Bible to bless us in ways greater than we could ever dream of. Don't let those little discrepancies get in the way of the blessings that God intends for you in his word. Just embrace the wonder of it all. There's something else in this story that's kind of startling, that goes against our intuition about Jesus. Whenever we come to this account of Jesus clearing the temple, I'm reminded of someone saying, when you ask, what would Jesus do? You have to remember that turning over tables and chasing people with a whip is a possibility. That goes against the image that we are often taught of Jesus being meek and mild, never raising his voice, never expressing any emotion, and just generally being a pious wimp. Ned Flanders of The Simpsons and Father Mulcahy of MASH all rolled into one. Jesus wasn't afraid to show his emotions. He wept over Jerusalem. In our gospel last week, we read how Jesus rebuked Peter and even called him Satan. A rebuke is stern and rough, not meek. In Gethsemane, Jesus prayed so hard that he sweat blood. His sheer presence intimidated the soldiers who came to arrest him in the St. John Passion. And Christ loved us so much that he died for us on the cross. Jesus was and is an emotional, sensitive kind of guy. Shouldn't we get incensed over the same things that piqued Christ's outrage? I'm not saying that Jesus is violent or that we should be. What I am saying is that Jesus can be full of holy wrath. Christ hates sin, and he will judge it, and he will punish it. You don't want to be on the wrong side of Jesus on Judgment Day. And while we are not Jesus, we too have to take a stand against sin as he did. What was it particularly about those sellers and money changers that got under Jesus' skin so much? In one regard, the livestock sellers provided a needed service. The people needed to make animal sacrifices in the temple, and they couldn't always bring their own animals with them, so they bought an animal to sacrifice on site at the point of need with in-time delivery. Seems all good. But over time, things got out of hand. Human nature being what it is, the sellers got greedy. They took advantage of the pious poor. The sellers put profit before propriety, and Jesus cares about those in poverty. The buying and selling became more important than what the sacrifices were actually for. What happened in the temple long ago still happens in churches today, and you don't have to look at the easy target charlatans on TV for an example. Churches can be consumed by commercialism. No doubt, churches in this world need money to exist and do their mission. We don't shun the coin of the realm as if it was all filthy lucre. Churches have to pay for utilities and supplies and things like that. Nothing is free. That's just the reality of the world we live in. But the dollars for church support should come from the hearts of the faithful, by people wanting to advance God's work, and not by the church being a profit-raking business. Our goal is to proclaim Christ, to tell the world that he made the ultimate sacrifice, not to compete with the casinos. The church is not just another business. We are stewards of the divine mysteries, which are both free and priceless. Like the animal sellers, the money changers also had a role in the temple that was somewhat necessary, but also kind of twisted. All Jews had to pay a temple tax, not a tax to the government, but a required offering to support the temple. The Jews considered the Roman coins to be idolatrous in the sense that they had the graven image of Caesar on them. But that's what everyone used every day out of necessity. But it was blasphemy to use them to pay the temple tax. As we said last week, the Romans considered Caesar a god, so the Roman coins were definitely not kosher. They were unclean by Jewish law. The money changers could be considered traitors, much like the hated tax collectors were, for dealing with the Romans and taking unfair advantage of their own people. They charged outrageous exchange rates, even worse than the exchange rates you'll find at airports today. What the money changers were doing to a pious Jew, and Jesus was a pious Jew, would be considered desecrating the temple, the holy place of God, making it dirty, making it unholy. It would be like somebody spray-painting satanic graffiti in our chancel. Jesus wasn't going to stand for that. He was going to take direct action and let the chips fall, or in this case, the tables fall where they may. Please note that Jesus wasn't doing this out of hate for anybody. He was doing it out of love for God, his Father, and love for God's house. Love is always Jesus' strongest emotion. The Jewish leaders asked Jesus for a sign to show that he had the authority to take such action. Seems they were always looking for a sign. Jesus could have given them a sign. He could have gave them lots of signs, but he didn't. Why? Jesus knew that a belief based solely on signs and wonders is shallow and fickle. He knew that no one could truly have faith in him until they had experienced his death and resurrection, as some eyewitnesses did, and as we do in the sacraments, dying and rising in baptism, receiving Jesus' body broken and his blood shed, recalling his death and experiencing new life where there is forgiveness of sin, that is, in the Holy Communion. So Jesus told them that the only sign they would get is if they tore down the temple, he would raise it up again in 3 days. As usual, they were too thick to understand he was speaking of his body, not the brick and mortar temple. Jesus' words and actions would come back to haunt him. Maybe he intended it that way. Interfering with the businessmen in the temple must have made some powerful enemies for Jesus. When he was on trial for his life, Jesus' words about destroying the temple and rebuilding it were used against him to support a charge of blasphemy. How ironic that Jesus would be charged with the very crime that he was trying to stop. But how great it is that although Jesus was falsely arrested, arraigned, and sentenced to death, he still rose victorious over sin, death, and the devil. Still today, Jesus calls us to repentance as he called the sellers and the money changers of old. When we disrespect God's holy word and the sacred things of his house, out of sheer love, God corrects us, sometimes gently, sometimes more forcefully, depending on what we need. Out of pure fatherly love, God cleanses our hearts and leads us back to faith in the death and resurrection of his only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, for our salvation. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.